Folks, your financial freedom is at stake when the government thrives on creating unrelenting inflation, an astronomical debt, crippling interest rates, and market turmoil that we haven't seen in decades. And now you have an administration that wants to tax everything that you have to fund runaway entitlement spending. You should empower yourself with opportunity and the freedom to pursue success and to keep the fruits of your hard work. And if you want to protect your future, you should call a precious metals dealer that I trust, American Hartford Gold. They can show you how to protect your savings and retirement accounts by diversifying your portfolio with physical gold and silver. And all it takes to get started is a short phone call. And American Hartford Gold can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside your IRA or 401k. They make it easy. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
Freedom, personal freedom, is fundamental to who we are as Americans.
There's nothing more important, nothing more sacred.
That's been the work of my first term, to fight for our democracy.
This shouldn't be a red or blue issue.
To protect our rights, to make sure that everyone in this country is treated equally and that everyone is given a fair shot at making it. But you know, around the country, MAGA extremists are lining up to take on those bedrock freedoms. Cutting Social Security that you paid for your entire life while cutting taxes for the very wealthy. Dictating what healthcare decisions women can make. Banning books.
Oh my God.
And telling people who they can love. All while making it more difficult for you to be able
to
vote.
What in the world? I'm not going to be able to take much more. I'm trying to play the ad for you, but it's taking everything I have to get through it. See, you know, like I thought I'd play it for you guys so you could see, you know, exactly what, you know, what's happening here. And as it turns out, you know, it's what did he say? It's a hot mess. Welcome to the show. Your lovable curmudgeon, Dana Lash here. Top of this first hour, Tuesday. That was POTUS and he announced that he's running for office again. He's the oldest person in human history to run for office. Well, I mean, for the United States. He might actually be the oldest person to actually ever run for office, literally. I think the jury's still out on that, right? I think so. And so the ad that he put out, he had to get into the MAGA Republican. I don't even know what that is. It's so stupid. I'm so tired of these stupid phrases. And I just go over the hits real quick that he said there, because I've got some issues. So he first was saying that they're going to gut Social Security, blah, blah, blah. That, oh, Jesus, put a hand over my mouth. First off, Democrats spent all your Social Security. The reason why people like my mom don't have Social Security and the reason why it's insolvent is because Democrats literally spent every single cent of it. Never forget, it was back in the, what election was it? One of the Bush v. Gore. And Gore was talking about, I'm going to put it all in a lockbox and it's going to be safe. And that never actually happened because, you know. So the privatization of Social Security, some Republicans had floated the idea of, okay, well, if you want to opt out and have your own and keep your own money because you can probably do a better job of investing than the government can, then you can choose to do that. And certain Republicans, including some presidential contenders, have a problem with that, I have to say. And I have a problem with them having a problem with it. More on that shortly. But this whole idea that they're gutting Social Security, they can't because there's nothing left to gut. Democrats spent it all. The second thing that he touched on, oh, well, they want to ban books. It was Democrats that banned Tom Sawyer It was Democrats that banned, like literally banned, Dr. Seuss. In various states, Republicans and Democrat parents, in fact, some of these groups are Democrat-led, which is what they are terrified to tell you. Like Azra Normani, who was in the Virginia group, she's a Muslim woman who's a Democrat. She voted for Glenn Youngkin because the Democrats were so bad there. They didn't ban books. They simply said, you have to ask us if you're putting sexually explicit material in the school library. Don't compare Dr. Seuss' Green Eggs and Ham to, what is it, the book Gender Queer, where a kid has a strap on and there's graphic depictions of them engaging in oral sex. That's not a joke. That's exactly what it is. So don't act like they're the same. Democrats outright said these have to be banned. Whereas Republicans were like, hi, can you please ask us for permission before you put in actual pornography? Because it literally, I mean, I can't be more forthright about it or graphic about it. I mean, that's what it was. And then he gets into, and then you can't love who you want to love. What are you talking about? What is he talking about with that? What was that about? I have no idea. I'm not quite sure. It's confusing to me because I don't think that has ever been a conversation amongst the right. The only, where did he get that from? You can't love who you say you're going to love. Is that what they're now calling the parental rights and education bill? Are they stretching it now to that extent? Anyone who thought that ad was good, this would be my test for if I had to build, you know, just going to take this to the nth degree. If I was tasked by the good Lord above to build an ark for mankind, and, you know, you can only, you know, you can only take, you know, 2x2. We need, you know, this amount of people, this amount of animals, whatever. My test would be, do you think this ad's good? Did this make sense to you? Before I'd let you on the boat. And if you said, yeah, I thought it was a pretty good ad. I'm sorry, you can't board. You got to stay behind. We don't need any more stupid. We're all full up. That's all right. Go ahead and stay behind. For real, I'm not even joking. So that's, he started the ad. You can already tell this is going to be the dumbest presidential campaign period ever. You can already tell. Already tell. It's going to be dumb. And I just, it's this, we're just getting started. God help us all. We're all just, it's just getting started. So this is the latest with all of this. Now, there's expected to be the debt limit bill is going to pass the House. Whether it goes anywhere in the Senate, I don't know. But now everyone's starting to really get mad over the story that we were talking about, a week ago, how you're going to now be paying for everybody's mortgages. The reaction is coming in. The news that home buyers with good credit will pay to boost the home ownership of people that don't have good credit is happening. It's under his rule. He did this by executive fiat. This wasn't anything that was done with Congress. Congress didn't make this determination. They didn't do this. This was all Biden who did it. Through executive fiat, home buyers with good credit will have to pay more in monthly mortgage fees to subsidize individuals with bad credit. Now, the administration says this is to make sure that everyone can own a home, and the change is to support low-income buyers. I really feel like the people who made this rule don't understand how credit works, because you can have good credit and then not be rich. You can be rich and have bad credit. That's what's weird about this, because they're not doing this on income. They're doing it on how good your credit is. So in order to even pay more, you would have to have good credit. Do you see how weird this is? The people, you, in order to pay more, you have to have good credit. You're penalized for doing things right, for paying your bills and having good credit, to subsidize the people that have bad credit. Why in the hell would anybody then try to, you know, do everything right to have good credit anymore? If you just get rewarded for having bad credit. I mean, this is Marxist redistribution. I did a thing when my kids were younger, because I homeschooled my oldest up to 8th grade and my youngest to 4th. And we did this thing where if they got one got a good grade and one got a bad grade, every now and then I would experiment and say, it's really unfair that your brother got a worse grade than you did. Don't you think it's sad? Oh, yeah, it's really sad. Yeah, it's so sad. You know what? In order to make up for this, let's take some points away from you and distribute them towards your brother's grade. So that way his grade can improve. And, you know, when you're talking to kids, initially he was like, yeah, that's a good idea. Wait a minute. And then he saw that it actually made his grade go down. Wait a minute. Whoa, 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 whoa. Well, yeah, yeah, that's what you have to do in order to, you have to tear your grade down a little bit in order to share some of those points with your brother in order to improve his grade. Mm-hmm. That's how that works. I mean, it's got to come from somewhere. Why not you? You got some to spare. Well, wait a minute. He objected. My oldest objected. He thought it was completely unfair. I'm being punished. You're lowering my grade to increase his grade when I put in more work. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, you know, that's how we taught our kids about Marxism. We also told them about taxes, because when I would give them, they could cash their checks at the Bank of Mom. And when I would write their checks out, I literally included tax in it. And I took out taxes from their, because I didn't pay my kids allowances. They could bid on chores. And my kids never got it. You don't get paid just for being in the family. That's not how this works. You got to do stuff to get money in the family. But then I'd take taxes out. I'd write them a check so that they could learn how to write checks and learn how to deal with, you know, and they'd go to the Bank of Mom. And I mean, it was a whole thing. And then they would be like, well, what are all these little deductions from this? Oh, yeah, it's taxes. You got to pay the tax. Got to pay taxes. That's how they learned about taxes. So they learned to hate these things at a very young age. I did everything absolutely appropriately. I did the proper percentages and everything. And then the cool thing was that, just like the government, I would let them see me waste their money. So I would take it and I'd spend it on totally stupid things, right? We'd go to Target or something and I'd be like, I don't need this, but I'm buying it. It's your money after all. Wait a minute, that's not, yeah, I know. I don't have to be responsible because I'm the Bank of Mom. I'm the government. So they learned real quick. It's really an invaluable lesson. Your kids don't even have to be homeschooled. You can do this with them on the weekends. I highly encourage you to not give your kids allowances and to structure things like this, because they learn the value of a dollar so fast and it stays with them for life. It's a glorious thing. Apparently, though, the Bidens don't do that. The Bidens didn't do that. By the way, can I just, I know we played this a little bit yesterday. Audio Soundbite 2. This was his speech at the teacher's thingy yesterday, where he was talking about everybody else's kids. Can you play this?
Rebecca put a teacher's creed into words when she said, there's no such thing as someone else's child. No such thing as someone else's child. Our nation's children are all our children.
Wait, so our nation's children are all our children, he says. That's kind of interesting. It's interesting because, did you guys hear this one headline? Is it everyone's, the nation's children are all of our children except for a little girl named Navy Jones? You guys hear about this latest headline? Hunter Biden's ordered to appear in an Arkansas court for this ongoing paternity case. The mother of his child demanded that he be jailed because he has so far refused to hand over any of his financial records. They've been having a child support dispute. Remember, Hunter Biden got with London Roberts and they had a baby girl named Navy Joan. And the Bidens have so far refused to acknowledge this little girl. Hunter Biden refused any and all responsibility. She took him to court and they forced him to do a paternity test. Guess what? You're the daddy. So he had his Maury Povich moment. He's the daddy. And then he refused to pay child support. So she was dragging him back into court to pay child support. Then he only wanted to pay like a little bit. He didn't want to pay any back pay or anything. So then that's what they're fighting over right now. This little girl's stockings left off the mantle every Christmas by the Bidens. This little girl has never been invited to the Easter egg roll at the White House. She's never been in any of the photos. She's never been included in anything. They have fought to exclude this kid from everything. So I really don't want to hear Joe Biden pretend that he gives a rat's ass about anybody else's kids when he can't even acknowledge his own granddaughter.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
You know it's bad when Americans are spending up to $85,000 on bulletproofing their cars because crime is surging. ArmorMax founder And the CEO said that their clientele used to just be, you know, the rich and famous. Now it includes everyday Americans who are so afraid of what's happening in their communities and the crime rate that they're actually paying to have their cars made bulletproof. That's wild. He said that, you know, in recent years, it's really spiked. And I mean, it's anywhere up to $85,000 to have your car totally bulletproofed. That's unbelievable. Or you know what? You could just leave your area that's Democrat ran and go to a place where they actually, you know, have law and order. This is my favorite headline this year. My favorite headline. I am in love with this headline because of two words. Hooligan sheep. Hooligan sheep are terrorizing residents and destroying their gardens. It's a British village, and the sheep there have terrorized residents for nearly a decade. Locals have had enough of the flock, calling for cattle grids to be installed to stop the menacing beast. They say that Kidnell's Drive estate in the Forest of Dean, they've had to put up with hooligan sheep. They've used their gardens as toilets. They can't even vegetable garden. They're terrorizing the villagers. They have I love this. They say that the shepherds have been clapping back, claiming that the sheep have the right to graze anywhere under the common mast laws originating in the Middle Ages. And the sheep are eating everything. So they're having a fight because of hooligan sheep in the sleepy British village. And it's my favorite headline so far. I love it. Space Force, their chief, by the way, also says that the U.S. is facing a new era of threats beyond the Earth. Okay, so does this mean aliens? This is General Chance Saltzman. Is Chance saying there's a chance? I'm just wondering. Stay with us. More in store. As colleges and universities across the country hold their graduations, I'd like to highlight a place where students receive the best classical liberal arts education in America. And when these students graduate, they've studied the great books, the history of Western civilization and of America, and the meaning and history of the Constitution. Can you guess who I'm talking about? I'm talking about Hillsdale College. Hillsdale was founded in 1844 to offer the kind of education needed to preserve civil and religious liberty, and holds true to that mission while refusing to accept one penny of taxpayer funding, not even indirectly, in the form of student grants and loans. Hillsdale students also abide by an honor code, which ensures a unity of purpose and fosters lively, civil, and intelligent debate. See for yourself and learn from Hillsdale for free through their influential Speech Digest in Primus and by taking online courses on American history, the Constitution, and other subjects. Find out more at dana4hillsdale.com. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com. Join the battle over education for our country's future today.
Do you know what Joe Biden thinks is wacko? Republicans want to reduce spending from $60 trillion to $56 trillion over the next 10 years to reduce the debt ceiling, although he voted for those same cuts as a senator from Delaware, while inflation is here to stay. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
Mr. President, what's your message to Democrats who don't want you to run again?
They want me to run.
Two-thirds say they
read
don't.
Read the polls. Read the polls, Jack. You guys are all the same. That poll showed that 92% of Democrats, if I ran, would vote for me.
A majority of Democrats say they don't want you to run again in 2024.
92% said if I did, they'd vote for me.
I love the Secret Service's expression there. They are so straight-faced, but they followed right behind him. And that you could tell there was just, especially the dude, if you're watching the simulcast of the nationally syndicated radio show, by the way, on Channel 347, DirecTV, YouTube, or Facebook, there was one moment where they look at, for just a split second, you can tell he's like, oh, well, hell. Like, oh, it's going to be an old man argument. Here we go. Here we go. Woo. So, woo, my goodness. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. That was the president of the United States getting upset because somebody asked him a question about, and it's true, there are a lot of Democrats that don't want him to run. And the only time that he actually comes out competitive is when he's running against Trump. Man, he got mad there. He got mad. Can you imagine if he was in his prime?
No, I can't.
No, I mean, like, can you imagine if he was mad in his prime? He'd probably suck, that dude. He gets so mad.
Look here, fat.
Yeah, look here, fat. Read the polls, Jack. Why is it everybody's Jack with him? Read the polls, Jack. Like Trump always says, like beating somebody like a dog or something like a dog. Yep. And Biden's is Jack. I don't know, man. It's an older dude thing. I don't know what it is. Woof. So the president, he announced today in a video. It seems a little bit anticlimactic just simply because he didn't have like a regular, he didn't do this in 2020 either. Didn't they have it like all closed down and he walked out on somebody's yard, if memory serves, and said that he was going to be running for office? So we shall see, but it was not, it just was very anticlimactic. I know he doesn't want to be asked questions. He's not going to campaign. He doesn't need to campaign. He's got some of the media doing it for him anyway, but not all of them, because a lot of them don't want him. They think he's damaged. And he's old. By the way, can we stop having, no offense to 80-year-olds, I love you, but can we not have only like the oldest boomers running all the time? Yeah. We have so many other people who are not, you know, up at the top of the age hierarchy in the United States who could run for office. Just saying, can we just, you know, maybe slow the roll on that? Wisdom isn't claimed by being the oldest person in the room. Life experience does not translate to wisdom. Two different things. All right. So I saw this story about marketing. I saw this with Father's Day too, a couple of years ago. But now we're really starting to see it more from corporations. Corporate America is deciding that apparently Mother's Day is a challenging, sensitive period in people's lives. And so anyone, I always opt out of every email that I get. I can't stand those stupid emails. But now every, you know, from Kroger to Hallmark to DoorDash, they have opt out of Mother's Day emails to their customer base. Nespresso had, and this is via AZ Informer, quote, prefer not to hear about Mother's Day. With Mother's Day coming up, we understand this can be a difficult time of year for some. If you would like to opt out of Mother's Day emails, you can simply click below. We'll still keep you up to date on other Nespresso news. Why would it be a sensitive, just all you got to do is just either delete it or just, why delete it. Why is this a sensitive? And I say this as someone who didn't have a dad. I had a stepdad, but I didn't have a dad growing up. I mean, I don't sit here and go, oh, Father's Day, so some of this email is so sensitive to me. I've got to know. I don't do that. Good grief. Ancestry, ironically. We realize that Mother's Day may be a tough time for some if you prefer not to receive emails. And it's not just emails, too. They started doing this a couple of years ago. I think it really first started with Father's Day. You would have, and we talked about it on the show before, some of these companies who would weirdly word their promotional stuff on social media where they would get around Father's Day, like honor your parent or something like that. And they would use this like weird, neutral, vague terminology. It's just wild. And I think some of it is, I think some of it has to do with the gender dysphoria stuff, but some of this, like a pan, like the people who make the La Crusade, the people who make pans and pots, like really, you're gonna flip out because you bought a pot once for your kitchen, and you're gonna get upset because you got an email that's talking about Mother's Day? Can't you acknowledge that moms are special, even if you know you maybe have like a bad history, right? Like, I don't have, like, the best record with bio dads, but, you know, at the same time, I can acknowledge how important fathers are for that reason, by the way. Just saying. It's just kind of wild. It's just really, really wild to see this erasure or this push to erase parents. Get over it. Get over it, for real. Just get over it. And it's one day. It's like one thing. Like, the bye-bye baby people. AZ Informer has a list of all of these companies that are, when did this become a thing? Sending out emails like, oh, is this a sensitive issue for you to the word mother, talk about mother? I think, again, some of it is that gender dysphoria stuff, but but also I think, I mean, everything is sensitive to everybody. No one can just simply, I was thinking about this the other day because of social media. Every single issue is blown up into like a national freak out rage fest. Everything is. It can't just be someone has an issue somewhere in their private lives and they deal with it. They have to go on social media and bitch about it, and then it becomes this huge thing. Every single person's problem has to become this huge issue. I can't even, do you know why I don't update on Instagram like I used to? Because I hate it. I hate it. I'm either looking at accounts where people are trying to sell me the same crap that you find at Home Goods. Look at my giant fake ivory links that you can put on your coffee table. And all the stuff that I got in the Magnolia section of Target. Look, I just can't stand that stuff. I cannot stand it. It's either that or bad makeup tutorials or someone trying to push something on you or somebody like rage, you know, festing over something. It's just there's nothing normal on it ever anymore. I can't stand it. Although I will say that they have lately been following Facebook's algorithms and they've been showing me Frenchies on skateboards and pandas. I did say that yesterday. I looked this morning and it was all like baby pandas and it was just total chaos. It was cute. But other than that, it's all garbage. There you go. Everything else is garbage. But especially the Bye Bye Baby people. If you would rather not receive our Mother's Day emails. Well, how about, can we just not get any emails? All of them offend me. I don't like any of the marketing emails. Just because you buy a product doesn't mean that you want to know every single time someone at your company passes gas. Nobody cares. Just like if we want to know, then we'll go there. But I've seen, do you remember when they did this on Father's Day? I remember when they did that on Father's Day. Just a weird, weird thing. Oh, but that's not the only wokery that we have. Mm-mm, no. And it's not the only wokery canceling mother and father either. So there's this British global charity called Oxfam. They have their new newspeak. It's a guide that they have where they are encouraging people to refrain from using words like mother, father, ladies, etc., because they think those are declared offense. They think those are offensive. The words are offensive. The actual biological title of someone who has offspring is offensive. And they also don't like the phrase committed suicide. They say you should say completed. That's a real thing. It's in their guide. No, you shouldn't use mankind, manpower, spokesman. You shouldn't say attitudes or behaviors, but rather social norms. Oh, man, there's a whole bunch of more new letters for the alphabet title. Oh, all of it. It is. It's the revolution is complete when the language is perfect. It's the way it always has been. Now, with the news that we had yesterday of Tucker Carlson being out, I wanted to play this audio soundbite 9. I don't know why AOC is claiming that this is some sort of success for deplatforming. I disagree with it, but listen to her. She's karma sucks, man. Listen, it's going to be bad. I'm just saying she'll get deplatformed or something. Listen to her celebrating this.
Tucker Carlson is out at Fox News. Couldn't have happened to a better guy. What I will say, though, is while I'm very glad that the person that was arguably responsible for some of the most amounts of death threats and violent threats, not just to my office, but to plenty of people across the country, I also kind of feel like I'm like waiting for the cutscene at the end of a Marvel movie after all the credits have rolled. And then you see like the villain's like hand reemerge out to grip over like the end of a building.
Does she have a point, or she just want to say like a whole bunch?
But
like
deplatforming works and it is important. And
important.
There you go. Good things can happen.
Golly, I think we all just lost brain cells listening to that without the benefit of alcohol. Whenever I hear her talk, I'm like, oh, you probably were a bad bartender too. Like, I mean, she can't even hold a conversation. That's AOC. She's celebrating Tucker. I had a piece about Tucker Carlson out that I put up on the newsletter just because I've done stuff with Fox for 10 years. I've known Tucker for a really long time. And I don't think it's all speculation, you know, whether or not people were wondering if it was the Dominion thing or what. I don't think it was. I also don't think, and we're going to play some audio here, I also don't think it had anything to do with what the election. I don't think it had to do with election stuff either, because there's audio of him where he really went and pushed back against the idea of this, you know, the idea that there's somehow, you know, this, like the Sidney Powell stuff. Like, listen to this. This is, do we have time? It's audio soundbite 5. It's a minute. But it's where, this is flashback. So I don't think it's this either. This is flashback audio when he was talking about Sidney Powell in 2020. Listen.
We took Sidney Powell seriously. We had no intention of fighting with her. We've always respected her work. We simply wanted to see the details. How could you not want to see them? So we invited Sidney Powell on the show. We would have given her the whole hour. We would have given her the entire week, actually, and listened quietly the whole time at rapt attention. That's a big story. But she never sent us any evidence, despite a lot of requests, polite requests, not a page. When we kept pressing, she got angry and told us to stop contacting her. When we checked with others around the Trump campaign, people in positions of authority, they told us Powell has never given them any evidence either, nor did she provide any today at the press conference. Powell did say that electronic voting is dangerous, and she's right. We're with her there. But she never demonstrated that a single actual vote was moved illegitimately by software from one candidate to another. Not one. So why are we telling you this? We're telling you this because it's true. And in the end, that's all that matters. The truth. It's our only hope. It's our best defense.
So I don't think it's that either. You can't really say it's that either. And he's right on that, by the way. No, there's a lot of speculation on it. And I don't, I mean, at some point, maybe it'll come out. His producer reportedly left with him, which may signal that he's not done with, you know, television broadcasting just yet. I mean, what we do know is that his program was like the highest rated primetime program on cable. And his presence brought in ad revenue at a time when ads and media are struggling everywhere else. So I've seen things like he left or that he was pushed out. You know, he's not going to say anything. He's not going to say anything to anybody. And Fox said they're going to rotate hosts until they figure out a replacement. They had my friend Brian Kilmeade in yesterday. So I've known him when he still had a bow tie. And it's been very enjoyable to watch this transformative process. He went from policy wonk and reserve commentator to sort of one of the standard bearers for conservatarianism, for the constitutional cause. And he was a main target of the left because he was such an effective communicator. And all these jealous righties that have been eager to ride the coattails of progressive attacks without themselves having to be the aggressors, total cowardice. So there you go. I don't know. We'll see. But I do think it's probably, it made Don Lemon's day because it took some of the sting out of Don Lemon's departure from CNN for sure. If you have not changed the way that you buy meat yet, you should make the switch to Good Ranchers today. When you subscribe, Good Ranchers will give you 1.5 pounds of free bacon in every box for a year. That's a $240 value. And this bacon tastes so good because Good Ranchers pigs are never crated and they never use antibiotics or added hormones. And they have heritage breeds that have historically produced the best pork in the world. Subscribe today and get their price lock guarantee. What you pay today will be what you pay a year from now. With Good Ranchers, I consistently get the same quantity and quality of meat every single time. Their all-natural burgers, USDA prime steaks, and better-than-organic chicken have changed my standard for great meat, and it will change yours too. Visit goodranchers.com and use code DANA for $20 off your next box. Get free bacon, great meat, a secure price, and a bonus of $20 off today at goodranchers.com with code DANA when you subscribe. goodranchers.com, code DANA. Good Ranchers, American meat delivered.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
But across the country of late, from some of our friends on the extreme right, LGBT students and teachers are under attack from hateful laws. I've directed Secretary Cardona to strengthen protections of Title IX. To protect both students and school employees from sexual assault, harassment, discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity.
He's talking about, that's Joe Biden talking about parents and teachers that are under attack, LGBT. What about the militant T that went and shot up a school of teachers and students? Just wondering about that. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lashier with you. Yeah, Joe Biden, who met with the Tennessee Three, the Justins, and then the other lady, Pearson and Jones, because they have two Justins. And he met with them yesterday. And he was saying that it was an undemocratic, what happened to them was undemocratic, meaning they got punished and removed briefly. I thought that was the dumbest thing I'd ever heard, because the democratic process in this republic was what the Tennessee legislature undertook when they went through the process of voting and removing those lawmakers from the body, because those lawmakers had broke the rules to an egregious extent. So they actually undertook a democratic process, whereas these three lawmakers literally grabbed a bullhorn and led a rioting mob. Yes, rioting mob or insurrection, you know, however the left wants to define it, into the Tennessee Capitol and disrupted legislative procedure. And they got into a fight with cops and all kinds of stuff. That's not part of the democratic process. So I found that fascinating that Biden was lamenting the democratic process that was used to punish these lawmakers who engaged in a non-democratic process. And then he wants to say that what they did was democratic and what was done to them wasn't. I mean, it's just absolutely shameless. By the way, none of the families of those at the Covenant School, none of them received an invite to the White House. Interesting. We have a second hour on the way. Don't go anywhere. When you see judicial rot running rampant and American companies embracing insanity and wokery, you got to fight back, starting with the way that we spend our money. So for years, big mobile companies have dumped millions into leftist causes, and you know, we just kind of took it because another option didn't exist. Well, now one does. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the best possible service in your area without the woke problem. Propaganda. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call them at 878-PATRIOT and get free activation today with offer code Dana. Ask about their coverage guarantee as well. PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
If you stand up for our kids, you're standing up for our communities, safe communities, and democratic values. That's what it's all about. And all three of you speak so well about why you're doing what you did and why you continue to do it. And look, what the Republican legislature did was shocking, it was undemocratic, and it was
not at all.
That's without any precedent.
It wasn't undemocratic. The undemocratic thing was these three lawmakers grabbing bullhorns and leading a rioting mob into the Capitol in Tennessee and disrupting the legislative business. That was undemocratic. It was not undemocratic to actually engage in the democratic process in this republic as the Tennessee legislature did and call the votes and assemble the body, call the votes, etc., and penalize the lawmakers who disrupted daily business by leading a rioting mob inside, to penalize them by removing them, as is protected, as they are able to do, from the legislature. That's what they did. That's part of the democratic process. Just because Biden doesn't like it doesn't mean it's undemocratic. That's the president meeting yesterday with the Tennessee Three. The families of the Covenant School victims did not get such an invitation. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, top of our second hour this Tuesday. The president also announced that he's running for office. It seems kind of ho-hum. I mean, there's no real earthquake or anything like that in there. I will say the only thing that did shock me, and Steve pointed this out, is that Gavin Newsom said that there's no one better to lead the fight than President Biden. Looking forward to another 4 years of his leadership. That actually did kind of surprise me. But this is, you know what, this is Democrats who, they know how to play the game. They want to win. Whereas Republicans will literally tank something over ego. We will absolutely commit political seppuku over ego. It's what we do. We're good at it. But Gavin Newsom's like, oh, he retweeted the president's announcement and said, yeah, you know, he's looking forward to another 4 years. So I think, but I don't think that he's going to stop soft campaigning though either. The reason I say that is because not every single Democrat is on board with Joe Biden. And even though Joe Biden has announced, that doesn't mean that his space on the slate, so to speak, is secure. It doesn't. It doesn't mean that, you know, he's secure in his position. So it's interesting to kind of watch this play out, because he could still, I think he really could really still not run. And they would have Gavin Newsom, who's showing, oh, look, I'm a team player. Look at me being a team player. I'm right here being a team player. I can do it. He's showing that he's ready and able to do it. Interesting, is it not? Now, the couple of other things that we are, you know, because we've been watching all of this stuff with going in D.C., et cetera. I got some ridiculous wokery coming up for you as well. They had, I got Law and Order. Got some Law and Order pieces. And any kind of, although we kind of talked, we talked about the Tucker Carlson thing, but we were discussing some of the speculation in all of that as well. Now, the couple of things here, I wanted to skip on down to this. So the Hunter Biden, that investigation is ongoing. And we learned that he was a big donor. Let me pull this up. He's been hiding away at this mansion. He's with this big donor, this big Democrat donor, his $50 million vineyard. Because some people were wondering if Hunter Biden was hiding away at the White House so that he could avoid being subpoenaed in the case of London Roberts, the woman with whom he had a baby, Navy Joan, who the Bidens refused to acknowledge. They will not acknowledge this child, despite the fact that a court-ordered paternity test proved that Hunter Biden was the father, and despite the fact that he's been drugged back to court several times by this woman because he will not accept his responsibility in the creation of life. So Biden gets out there and he talks a really good game about, oh, every child is ours except for Navy Joan. She's not, they won't even put her little, that little girl stocking up on the mantle. They will not allow her to be a Biden at all whatsoever. Hunter Biden, I was reading a piece where he was even contesting her taking his name. I mean, it's so petty. It's so petty. So, like, I don't know if they're embarrassed of her. I don't know how they could be embarrassed of a child when they got Hunter Biden in the family. Doesn't make any sense. So he's been hiding away. Reportedly, the speculation was that he was at the White House. That's why he was traveling with his father, so that they couldn't subpoena him. Now, apparently, he's in some sort of Santa Ynez property in Northern California. This $50 million vineyard owned by a medical device company executive, major donor to Democrats, major donor to his dad's campaign. And this this individual also was one of the guys who was behind the job that was offered to the niece, Caroline Biden. Do you remember these emails? She was on probation because she had $100,000 in charges on a stolen credit card. And she complained to her daddy, James Biden, this grown-ass woman, complained to her daddy that the base salary of $85,000 was, she said that was too little for her to consider. She wasn't going to consider it. I know. So that's where apparently he's there to avoid being subpoenaed. Because he doesn't, the judge is demanding that he show up in court in Arkansas. So we'll see, but Hunter Biden's been hiding out, so we'll see. Now, the announcement, I read this piece, it's been 40 years since a president held this few amount of press conferences. I read the number where it was only like, he only had like 50 interviews. He's only had something like 50 interviews. He's had fewer press conferences of any president in the past 40 years. But Corinne Jean-Pierre it wasn't Ducey. She was asked about this at one White House press conference, and she was saying, "Oh no, he does talk to a lot of people in the press, and you know, he especially when he's getting off the helicopter." And she said, "Oh yeah, he shouts answers." She was trying to count those little press scrums as him holding an interview or having some kind of press conference. Which is kind of, which is wild. I think you're going to see fewer too. If he were to win re-election, heaven forbid, I think you would just not even see him anymore. Right? I think so, because it's, come on. He calls a lid at what, 2 o'clock every day?
If not before.
Yeah. Is he on his way back to Delaware yet? I mean, it is Tuesday. Is he on his way back to Delaware? I'm just wondering. I'm just done with these. Like, you look at him, I mean, you compare him to Newsom. Newsom is, I can't even believe I'm Newsom at least is, he's out traveling and he will go to some fundraisers. Biden just kind of hides away. DeSantis was in Japan. He was getting some criticism for being in Japan, and I don't understand why. I think some people don't understand that governors are also supposed to deal with the business issues of their state. Florida is Japan's second largest bilateral merchandise trade partner in the Asia Pacific region. It's Florida's seventh largest partner overall. And Japan is also, by the way, the largest foreign holder of U.S. debt. It's like over $1 trillion. So now you can see why. He's not the only one. Glenn Youngkin was making some, he's made some visits too. You're the governor. You're trying to secure these, you know, this business for your state. That's kind of, that goes along with the job. Even if it is, because I saw some people on the left were trying to, they were trying to say that somehow he was acting out of order, and that, oh no, this is, he's not supposed to be doing this, et cetera, et cetera. That's not true. They were trying to say it was a Hatch Act violation, which is a dumb argument because they're acting within their capacity as governors. Almost every governor does this. I think the only reason that it made news with DeSantis is because he is a Republican primary and unannounced contender. But that's why. I mean, they're I didn't realize they were that huge partners. Florida was such a huge partner with Japan. Makes sense. And they're not, and that's not the only state that Japan works with either, by the way. It's important to note. But it was just silly to see some of the weeping and the gnashing of teeth over this. It really was. So a couple of other things. I keep seeing these. I don't know. I hate talking about all the primary stuff. I really do. Does it seem like it's too early?
Yes.
To even talk about the ridiculousness of it? I've kind of stayed away from it just because I feel like the time will come when we have to talk about it. Why subject people to it any earlier? But I can't stand some of these goofy ads, though. And I've told you before, I wish that Trump had different people advising him. I really do. Because he's trying to do the 2016 playbook, and I don't think that's not gonna work for him, and you can't do the 2016 playbook against and run to the left of conservatives. You can't do that. Like, he had this thing where he was kind of saying some of the language that I've heard from kind of some of the left, where they, you know, talk about Social Security, or he had the pudding ad as well, and all of this stuff. DeSantis has only ever talked about being open to hearing what privatization of Social Security, like the opt-out plan, like we were talking about. And to hear the accusation that means you're going to take Social Security away from older people, that's what the left does. Why is any Republican candidate trying to run to the left of any kind of conservative? I don't get this. Please stop. I don't want to have to talk about this. I don't want to have to constantly correct some of the stuff that I see on our own side. Let's please not do this. I mean, for crying out loud, we got enough problems in this world without having to deal with that. Coming up, the White House has said they're going to veto the debt limit. Anything that McCarthy sends them, they're going to veto it. And will John Leguizamo ever stop complaining?
No.
He is insufferable. He's mad because he is not in the Mario Brothers movie. So he's livid. And he's demanding a percentage of the proceeds. I'm not even making this up. This is an actual thing. This is an actual headline. He's mad. He wants a cut of that Super Mario Brothers movie for some reason. And we've got to talk about all of that because he's so insane. He's mad because he says there was no Latin representation in the film, which I guess, I mean, he's Hispanic. It's a movie about two Italian brothers. I mean, he's kind of stretching it a little bit here. And it's about a damn turtle.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Honestly, I'd be happy just finishing that Tori Amos song and just chilling and talking stuff about Smod. We have the most fascinating discussions on break. Quiet quitting has morphed into a louder version called Quit Talk, and I hate everything. Where is the asteroid that's going to come and obliterate this sad little rock into dust? It's called Quit Talk. And Gen Zers, they say, it's a new trend where people are broadcasting their resignations under hashtag Quit Talk. You brats. Golly. You know what? Can I just say, I don't think these are actual Gen Zers. I think these are baby millennials. Sounds like it. By the way, Steve's the only millennial we actually like. So we always exclude Steve in this because he does not have this behavior. Let's see. It says people who wait to get it on until they're married are three times more likely to have higher stability in their relationship, according to a study. I haven't read this, you know, I haven't read the abstract, but it was a BYU study. It said 45% of men or women who were only with their spouses, they said they had a high level of relationships. When they're not whores, guess what? They're happier. Ha ha! Who knew? Moving on. Stress, another today and duh. Stress ages the body, according to a new study. But what isn't known, and this is from Duke University, is that it's actually possible to recover within days. The biological age of humans and mice rapidly increases in response to forms of stress like surgery, illness, childbirth, etc. They said in immediate release, the Duke Medical University, Duke University, their School of Medicine, said that the fluctuations can affect biological age, but they are reversible. And that is still the unexplored area of science. So that's what their study was looking to confirm. Bud Light sales plunge a staggering 17% because of that Dylan Mulvaney controversy. Golly. Yeah, well, that's what happens. That's the FO part of FA. That's how that kind of works. I find this endearing. Out of all the news in the world, Kyle, Texas, they just want to celebrate Kyle's. That's all they want to do. We're just men. We're just innocent men. Make sure I'm up because I love playing that soundbite.
This is normal men.
Yes. What do you mean?
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Kyle, Texas plans the world's largest gathering of Kyles for May. If your name is Kyle, come to Kyle. It's called the Gathering of Kyles, and it's scheduled for Sunday, May 21st, in Kyle, Texas, at Lake Kyle.
What?
They said so far, the world record for the largest same-name gatherings belongs to the name Ivan. Because in Bosnia, this was like back in 2017, they had 2,300 Ivans show up to set that record. Kyles, you got to beat the Ivans.
Go Kyle.
Let's make this happen.
Go Kyle.
Go Kyle. Stick with us. We got more in store after this.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all, live or on demand. The Dana Show.
You think I'm, you know, if you didn't think, if it weren't so prevalent around the in the news, you probably got making it up. It's hard to make up. We've made all this progress while being fiscally responsible.
What?
It's like screwing for chastity. Really. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, your lovable curmudgeon here, the bottom of the second hour. That's President Joe Biden saying, we've been so fiscally responsible, guys, you know, with the spending. And how many basically bailout bills have there been?
At least three.
Yeah. With the deficit spending now, what anticipated in, I mean, we're in the trillions. Good heavens. I mean, it's nuts. So this is I just can't believe I would. Can you imagine having a job where you can just say whatever and there's zero accountability? I mean, absolutely no accountability at all whatsoever. I was reading this piece and they got into how Americans have essentially taken a pay cut because of this president. We've all had a pay cut. It's because of persistent inflation. And the average American family, and this comes by way of a couple of economic think tanks, has lost about $7,000 in annual income. because the spending and the borrowing and the printing of money, trillions that we don't have, a debt now of over $31 trillion, devaluing the dollar. And consumer prices, they like to go, oh, look, average weekly earnings are up, though, by 9%. Oh, but let's look at the consumer price index. Oh, our prices have risen 15% over that time. That exact same time, meaning that we're actually, our wages are down by over a little over 5% under this president. Wow. So it's like basically having your purchasing power shrink by quite a bit per month. Our real actual earnings have not hit the level that they were at since after he took office. They haven't been. I mean, it's been entirely downhill this entire time. In fact, what was it? June of 2022. And this is New York Post. Now, the headline for this was American struggle with 24 straight months of affected pay cuts under Biden. And this is April 18th. So this is just a few days ago. But in this, it notes that June of 2022 was actually the only month of the president's term when real earnings were worse than they were today. And that was at 5.2% as compared to today at 5.1%. So just barely. And that's one of the reasons why we saw these interest rates being raised by the Fed, because they had to try to gain control of it somehow. They had to use something. Now we have the higher borrowing costs, not just because of inflation, but also now because of the redistribution. Apparently, this is already hitting the credit card thing. We had the story earlier where the Biden, through executive fiat, is having everybody pay even though monthly mortgage payments on a medium price home, they're 82% higher than what they were when Biden took office. You're now going to be paying more in mortgage fees to help subsidize the people who have worse credit than you do. Your income doesn't matter. It's a new executive fiat from the administration where Biden has decreed that if you have good credit and you have a mortgage, then you're going to pay extra in fees to subsidize those people who don't have good credit. That's on top of the increases just from inflation and everything else. I mean, it's wild. Absolutely wild. I mean, we've seen an over $7,000 cut in annual purchasing power per family. Yeah, you can do the math on that. And in the meantime, the administration has said that they're going to veto any kind of debt ceiling compromise. The plan that was put forward by McCarthy from the House was, you know, had common sense. If you're going to get entitlements, then show that you're working to get out of that. So you're not in this, you know, getting entitlements in perpetuity. Let's have some spending cuts. Let's reduce some of the regulatory burden. Democrats don't want to hear any of that. Those were literally that was part of the layout of their plan that they submitted. And they don't want it. Now we got what? We had a couple of banks collapse. People are worried about their deposits. And we have Congress wanting to spend more money. It's absolute chaos. And the only way, I mean, honestly, in order to prevent further chaos and collapse, you have to have a debt ceiling. You have to have a limitation. And so, I don't know. The White House doesn't seem like they're serious about resolving the issue. We're going to talk more about this here. Got to hit some wokery. John Leguizamo, I think, is a whiny brat. I'm going to say it because he is. He wants a piece of the Super Mario Brothers movie profits. He is so mad about this. He is livid. He wants to make some of that Super Mario Brothers movie. He's upset over it because he says that he accused them of not doing the right thing. He says he wants a piece. They made $876 million. He says that he wants a cut of it. He voiced the character in a live action format in 1993. And so now he says that the casting choices that they made for the new Mario Brothers movie is controversial because he wasn't in it. It's controversial just because he wasn't in it. He questioned the lack of Hispanic representation in the film. He goes, well, the characters are of Latin American descent. Okay, Italian, you're Hispanic. I mean, you're really pushing it here. They're Italian, and then there's an anthropomorphic turtle. What are you mad about? I mean, I really feel like there's not enough representation for turtles. It's very upsetting. He said, no, I will not be watching, was his quote. They could have included a Latin character. Like, I was groundbreaking, and then they stopped the groundbreaking. They messed up inclusion. They disincluded. Wow. He is so self-obsessed. Maybe if he was a better actor and didn't have to rely on his ethnicity as a crutch, he'd get more roles. I mean, you're literally talking about two Italian fictional characters and a damn turtle. That's what it is. Bowser's a turtle. What is a Koopa? That's a, shut up. He's an anthropomorphic turtle. Jiminy Christmas. So he's mad over that. He's been complaining about it since they announced this movie. So he was saying that, and apparently it wasn't enough if they're technicians or if they work on the film. He wants them to be in front of the camera. Basically, he'll shut up if you cast him. That's the racket that he's got going. Well, I'll stop complaining about you if you cast me. Because see, it's not about representation. It's about his representation. That's what it is. It's his representation alone. So I don't know what he's been doing lately. Has he been in anything? Good question. I don't know that he's been in anything. Yeah, he's like headline after headline. He's not watching Chris Pratt Super Mario Brothers movie. He's mad at Chris Pratt Super Mario Brothers movie. John Leguizamo blast Super Mario Brothers. I mean, he will not shut up about it. Constantly going on and on and on. I mean, he actually had the audacity to make the argument that there haven't been any Hispanic characters, and you know, oh my gosh, did you just miss like Netflix's biggest streamed show? I think it was like the biggest in Netflix history. Jenna Ortega's Hispanic. She was Wednesday Addams. That was literally based on a Hispanic family. What is the matter with you? Yeah, he was in... I actually forgot that he was in the first two John Wicks. He's mad because that franchise left him behind too. Yeah. I totally forgot he was in the first two John Wicks. The hell was he in John Wick? I never remember.
That car guy, remember? He went and visited when his car got stolen.
Oh, yeah. He was like a bit character because he sucks.
And then in the second one, he had a really brief.
He just complains all the time. He acts like because he's not in it, there are no Hispanics in anything. And that is so far from the truth. But this is a movie about two Italian brothers and a turtle. Again, an evil turtle. I can't even believe I'm saying this out loud, that he's mad over this. Who gets mad at this stuff? Golly, it's insane. It is. It's so stupid. Okay, so I wanted to share this with you, too. I found this fascinating. This comes by way of a Twitter account called The Rabbit Hole. And it was looking at Statistia. And I really am curious as to whether or not these are people who just say that there's something and then they're not. But it said 7.2% of U.S. adults now identifies LGBT. The share of American adults who identify by year, 7.2% now. And the biggest is Gen Z. 11% is millennials. 19% is Gen Z. 3% Gen X. 2% baby boomers. And they call traditionalists anybody who was born before 1946 at 1.7%. Statistia and Gallup. I think so much of this is social contagion. And I think a lot of it is spurred by social media too. A lot of it's social media. I also think some people just say that they are. And so that everyone wants to have like this thing that makes them different. And I think a lot of people say that. And then that's ultimately what it is. 7.2. What did it used to be? Like 2 or 3 or something like that?
Yeah.
And it's skyrocketed with social media. I think it is social contagion. A lot of it.
When they were first reporting on these numbers, it was in the 1% range.
Yeah. And now it's at 7.2%.
20% for Gen Z.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just about 20% for Gen Z. 20%. I mean, it's 19.7, so basically 20%. Wow. This is like, I read something previously about this with social contagion. And I'm going to find this piece because people were talking about evolutionary bottlenecks and the societal influence on this, like, and the reversal of that, like with, you know, the opposite of that with the baby boom in World War II. And then we went into fewer millennials being born and the comparisons between Gen Z and millennials, et cetera. I think it is fascinating, but 20% of Gen Z is how they identify. And it's adults leading them on social media is what it is. Ultimately, we have a Florida man on the way. There's a lot of stuff to hit still. And then coming up, I wanted to share with going into this. I wrote this as Dinky Dinks on the rundown on my newsletter that I send out on Substack, chapter and verse. Meet tomorrow's newest abused in a nursing home residence, the rise of Dinks, dual income, no kids. I learned that on Bar Rescue. I learned everything I know about Dinks. I learned on Bar Rescue. I'm not even kidding. It's one of my favorite shows.
That's so bad.
Yeah. Dinks, dual income, no kids, the Dinky Dinks. And they are always out there talking about how dinktastic they are. And, you know, dinky dink. I mean, all kind. I just want to make fun of them. But also, they are literally going to be the next generation. And they're going to be the ones who are clogging up the nursing homes. Those people are. I'm telling you what. They're going to die alone. Oh, I said it.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Man, I got some weird ones here today. All right, so we got where to start with. Let's do, the guy who used his lit cigar as a weapon. A Florida man was arrested. He allegedly attacked a customer at a popular Long Island restaurant bar with a lit cigar and a glass bottle. And it was in Nassau County at the Cuban. And he got in an argument with this guy. And the victim said that Bruno Estevez, 47 years old. I'm actually shocked that he's 47 because why is it these people look 40 years older than what they are? Jiminy Christmas. So he said that the victim said that the dude put a lit cigar in his face and then he struck him to protect himself. He was removed. I mean, he was using a cigar as a weapon. I mean, I'm not saying do that, but, you know, Estevez was charged with two counts of assault, two counts of criminal possession. So they actually did charge him with that as a weapon. That's what fascinated me about that. Okay, so I wanted to do this story proper. We had this the other day. A Miami woman. All right, you guys settle in because this is a story. Okay. It's Miami-Dade County. A woman from Little Havana is facing every felony charge I can think of almost at this point after a bizarre series of crimes. It began with a stolen pressure washer and ended with a burning Mazda in a farm field. I like how in the mugshot, Iva Saberto looks so pleased with her actions. If you're watching the simulcast, she's 27 years old. It began February 24th, and she went to her ex-boyfriend's house around 3 a.m., entered his yard, dragged his pressure washer that belonged to a second victim to her blue Mazda, and the boyfriend was like, due to previous altercations, he decided to call police. And so while he and the victim were outside, sounds like she's a spurned woman is what it sounds like. They were looking for damage on the vehicles in the driveway. So then he saw a vehicle driving a high rate of speed, turn into his driveway. She was behind the wheel, driving her Mazda. The ex took out the gun, began firing at her vehicle multiple times. She reversed, put it in again, crashed it into the Toyota Corolla used by the victim, then drove off. And then the next morning, an officer on patrol saw her Mazda on fire in an open field near the intersection of Southwest 138. And she reported the vehicle stolen hours after she ran into that Toyota Corolla. That's what she told her insurance company, too. But surveillance video exists, and they found all of it. They found all her crazy shenanigans. So she is booked on, okay, I'm going to try to get through this, two charges, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, one count each of felony criminal mischief, tampering with evidence, second-degree arson, burning to defraud an insurer, filing false insurance claims, filing false police report in the commission of a crime. A lot of stuff. So she's in the pokey. We got a third hour on the way. Don't go anywhere. More of the Dana Show after this.
Same old trickle down, dressed up in MAGA clothing. Only worse. Because this time, they're saying if they get their way, they will let the, if they don't get their way, if Biden doesn't agree with them and agree to all the cuts, and know these tax increases for others, working people, they're going to let the country default on its debt.
What? What is he talking about? This is Kane's new favorite soundbite. Oh my gosh. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. And happy Tuesday. Top of this third hour. Okay, so I'm looking at a couple of things here. First and foremost, the president, you know, he announced, I love, where's this at? Oh, it was the folk, my friends at Powerline that did this. This is so funny. They said that, he announced on Memorex. They're making fun of him over at Powerline. If you're unfamiliar with those are the guys who took down Dan Rather with the Swift Boat Gate, because we just say gate with everything now, apparently. But still, it's true. And I thought it was funny because he had his like weird little pre-recorded thing and he just sort of stared into the camera. This is how they put it. They wrote, In lifetime, Biden might have stared vacantly at the teleprompter, read his stage directions, or asked a disabled member of the audience to stand up and give it up for Joe Biden. He said, instead, Biden's handlers and the daycare operation at the White House have contrived to make the big announcement via video. Consistent with the early years of the Biden presidency, one might apply the rule of opposites to the statements he made in the video. Yeah, true. Every statement his handlers have given him to make is a lie or something like it. I mean, video announcements are so, when you're launching your campaign, I mean, it looks like, I'm trying to think of the best way, I'm not going out of my way to be purposefully mean. It's half-assed, isn't it? To do a video announcement? We're not in the middle of a lockdown. It's just weird, isn't it? Now, I understand, like, if you make your announcement and then you come out with a video of your accomplishments, he doesn't really have any, but you know what I mean. Then you would have that. That would be your, you know, that would be your thing. But he did the whole thing on a video. And I love it how Lorraine notes, he gave it the Hollywood treatment. It was like a Hollywood video. It is funny. It was like Oilfield Rando on Twitter said they movie trailered his campaign announcement. They did. And his seemed like a Hollywood video. It like he had the soft filter on it. He had the Streisand filter. It was weird. But it was just the video and he put it on social media and I'm sure everywhere else. It's odd. It seems that's not how you drum up excitement. Right. I remember when Rick Perry announced. So in 2020, in the primary, which some of the really stupid Republican, like two Republican operatives are so stupid about this because they don't know the difference between a primary and a general. I liked Rick Perry in the 2020 primary because he was a governor. You know, I knew his record. And I have to say that I thought didn't he come out to Top Gun with the Luttrell brothers on either side? He was in an airplane hangar. And he's by a jet and he walks out. I'm pretty sure it was Kenny Loggins. And he had the Luttrell brothers on either side. I thought that was actually really cool. That was a really cool way to kick off, even if it's your reelection bid. You know, you want to do something where people are excited. No one is excited on the Democrat side about any of their policies. So you got to get them excited about personality. I just feel like Democrats aren't even doing that anymore. Like, think about this. Think about 2008. Go 2008, when Barack Obama announced his presidency, he had been in the Senate, I mean, barely any time. He ended up getting his Senate seat because he got his opponent disqualified because his opponent, who was a married man going through a tricky divorce with his wife, who was 7 of 9 in Star Trek, Jeri Ryan. Jeri Ryan was upset because her husband was kinky. Everybody got their issues, okay? People got issues. But it all spilled out into the public. And then Barack Obama used that to disqualify Jim Ryan. So that's how Jeri Ryan's husband. So ended up getting, and they got divorced and he ended up getting that Senate seat. He was barely there. He had no accomplishments. There was one Democrat who I never saw on CNN again after Obama won, who had said that he has fewer accomplishments than any other Democrat nominee ever. And it didn't matter because it was about personality. It was cult of personality, all personality. Let's just get all excited about the idea because you don't have anything of substance. Democrats used to be actually very good at that. They were very good at building something out of nothing. They were very good about the PR of a candidate when they did not have, the candidate had nothing else to recommend themselves. You guys remember? Remember all of the ads that they did? Remember all of that? And they had him, they had Obama going out giving speeches everywhere. Somebody opening a damn ice cream parlor, get Barack Obama out there to give a campaign speech because it showed he would show off his speaking skills, which I still don't think were all that great. He electioneered well. He retail politicked well. And then it showed that he was, nothing was too small for him to go out and meet the people. They were really good at that. And then they just sucked at it after. I don't know what happened. They got so bad at it. Now, some of it, yes, you have to have a willing candidate. But think of Hillary Clinton. I mean, she thinks she couldn't even take off her shades in a Chipotle. She didn't go to Wisconsin. And now you got Joe Biden. I'll never forget when he announced in for 2020, he walked out in someone's backyard. Remember the chairs? Gosh, I'm never going to forget this. Grass. Right, grass. They had tape circles on the grass and then the chair in the circle, and they were all spaced very far apart. You know, some rube got out there to measure it. 6 feet apart, 6 feet apart. And then he walked out there and gave this like bumbling, you know, there was no energy, no crowd to feed off of, nothing. Now he's not even doing that. He's just taping it in his Delaware basement and sending it out there. There's no excitement. If you have a candidate that sucks, you got to make something out of nothing. What is the phrase? My grandma said this all the time, and I'm going to mess it up. It was, you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. Is that how it went? A pig ear? The lady pig ear,
yeah,
right?
I think I have heard that.
Yeah. Is that? Did I mess that up?
No, I think it's
right. Oh, Twitter will tell me. You guys, I will. Oh, man, if I mess it up, I'm going to hear it. She used to say, so the same thing applies. You can't do that here. He has nothing. What is he going to run on? You're all broke because of me. The crowd goes, well, debt's up. Everybody's cheering, right? Your purchasing power has been cut in half. They're not going to cheer over that. They can't get excited over that. Have you seen the price of eggs? They're not going to get excited over that. You know what? They should have come out with like some slick marketing video. And they could have made him out to be like a wizard, right? Now, wait, hear me out. Wait, stop. I can hear you guys go, what the hell? Let's listen. He's so old, he can barely move. Come on, have you seen him? I mean, the man falls up. He sees a stair and he just falls. He's not even on the stair. He can't ride a bike. He can't do nothing. So you got to make him look like Gandalf, right? He may be old, but he's wise. They can't even do that because he won't shut up. He goes out and he makes these statements and they sound dumb. They can't even do that. He doesn't look like he's quick-witted. He's not. He's never been quick-witted. That's not one thing Joe's known for. And he's always sort of been like, he's a placeholder candidate. Everyone else made him. And now he's just a shell of his former self. You might think that that's mean, but you don't get the luxury of hiding behind niceties when you're running for an office as important as this. And if you can't take it, then don't run. Because the American public has the right to judiciously and sometimes very harshly make the determination and judgment on your character and your record and determine whether or not you are worth voting for. And Democrats are not serving their base. They're giving you this leftover old man. They're not even serving their base. If I was a Democrat, I'd be mad as hell. They're giving you this guy. Democrats haven't even been out there and like encouraging the new bench. Who do you have? Newsom? Who do you have after Gavin Newsom? Pete Buttigieg? Buttigieg? Mayor Snooty Poot? Him? That guy? South Bend Mayor? The vice admiral of the canoe fleet at Camp Wimpytonka? I mean, that guy? The guy who's like, roads are racist. Why are all the construction people white? That guy? Golly. Or a big Gretsch. And I, the female Paul Bunyan, but in all the wrong ways, that. I mean, come on, who do they got? Amy Klobuchar wrote a book about joy. Did you see this? The lady who threw her, would she throw her hairbrush? And then she used a salad fork as her hair comb, something like that. Yeah. The woman who is very mean and does not seem amiable at all. Like if you, I can't even believe there is anyone that might seem meaner than Hillary Clinton, but it could be her. She wrote a book called Joy. She's on the cover with her arms extended and her wrist flexed. Ah! Nobody believes that. Who do they have? Nobody.
Juan and I talked about this morning. I think they're going to bring Michelle Obama out. I think they're going to have to do it.
I don't think that she's been making the moves. No.
Yeah, not yet.
No. And I think that's
intentional, though.
No, I don't think her. I really don't.
I do.
Really?
And I'm not going to be surprised when I see it.
If she was coming out there with a book and all that, then I'd be like, okay, you may be something here. But she's been keeping pretty quiet. Every now and then she'll come out for a speaking gig, but they're very few and far between. And she's not as guarded with the way that she... Previously, when he was running for office, she was very disciplined and guarded with her words. She's not now. So I don't think she cares. I don't think it's her. That's why I don't think it's her.
I saw the rumors, but I haven't seen any of the confirmation.
They've been doing that every election.
That
Barack, Susan, gets your wife to come out here and bail out the sorry ass party. That's what they always say.
Right.
And it's never gonna happen. And one of the reasons I don't think it'll ever happen is because I think Democrats ultimately have a real problem with women. Oh yeah.
Well, Republican women.
Oh well, no, and their own. Think about it. And their own. Some of the meanest things that I've seen said by Democrat female candidate about Democrat female candidates have been from Democrats. It's not from Republicans. Who were the meanest people to Hillary Clinton? Democrats. Who are the meanest people to Big Gretch? Democrats. Who are the meanest people to Amy Klobuchar? Democrats. It was Democrats who leaked out her tantrums. It was Democrats who leaked on Big Gretch. It's always Democrats. The way they go after Kyrsten Sinema. The way they go after everybody. They ultimately have a problem. When it comes down to it, they'll let you get right up to VP, but no further. That's how they are. To say nothing of their hatred for conservative women. I just find it funny. People forget. When I was in college, before I actually got educated and my mind expanded and I became a publicly conservative, I saw it within Democrats. I work with Missouri Democrats. I work with college Democrats. They really ultimately do have a problem. They really do. They got a problem with it. So I don't see it. I don't see it happening. So it's definitely not going to be Michelle Obama. She's too far removed. But I don't know. Well, and they hate Kamala. They hate her. Golly, she's not even popular with her own party. She got the fewest votes in the primary.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I am fascinated by this story. Amish communities are using a surprising new kind of vehicle to go long distances. E-bikes. They said they're faster than walking. And they said that apparently Amish communities, e-bikes have caught on. It's really interesting. Yeah, the Amish. Yeah, they talked to a bunch of these e-bike shop owners in Ohio, and there's a big Amish community there. And they were like, they weren't making them fast enough. They weren't getting them in fast enough. I never thought about that. Don't they blow up though? I swear I saw a video somewhere where there was a bike that blew up, an e-bike. I don't know. 10 million gallons of partially treated wastewater released into Mount Hope Bay, Fall River, Massachusetts. A circuit breaker failed at their wastewater treatment facility early in the morning on Sunday. And the water bypassed all the pumps. And yeah, it's not good. So they got wastewater, meaning it's poo water. Let's be real. Let's be real about what it is. Come on. A fifth grader applied to be principal of Chief Joseph Elementary in Montana. The student saw a job needed to be filled and filled out for it and actually applied and got a phone call and went in for an interview and everything. Because they were applauding, her drive there. Stick with us.
Whether you just want to stay informed or just hear her vent about all the ridiculousness in the world, make sure to download the Dana Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
So this week is Lesbian Visibility Week, and as the first openly queer person to hold the position of press secretary for the President of the United States, I see every day how important visibility and representation are.
Wait a minute, I see her. She's not invisible.
No, but it's Visibility Week.
It doesn't make no sense. Wait a minute. So first off, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here, bottom of this third hour. That's Karine Jean-Pierre just a little bit ago. I do like the pink on pink, and I hate color. Like, I hate, like, super colorful clothes. But I do like that contrast. But I see her. She's a liar because they are visible. She's not invisible. I see her. I see. Are the other chicks on stage lesbians too?
Yes.
So we see them.
Well, it is Visibility Week.
So they're only visible this week?
Apparently.
Is it like Mercury in retrograde or something like that? The stars aligned and all of these like invisible lesbians are now visible? And they're celebrating the fact that they can be seen. I don't understand what that means. This is why I hate this stupid stuff. I want to take everything literally. By the way, the new season of Beavis and Butthead, I started watching that, so I'm in that very literal mood right now. I binged, like, I don't know, 3 episodes, 4 episodes yesterday. So, apologies. Still in that mood. But we, I mean, you can see her, right, Kane? I'm not wrong on this. Look at it. Look at it. Tell me if you see a woman in a pink suit. At the microphones.
I do, actually.
You can see her.
I do. I see the necklace, too.
I'm just, okay, hear me out. Hear me out for a minute. I got a really good idea. It's probably one of my better ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, okay, so, you know, we got, like, the stuff happening in Sudan, and all these people are evacuating their embassies and stuff, and we got, you know, Russia getting froggy with Ukraine, and you got China being all froggy. I mean, we have... Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, and I only was made aware of this today by Karine Jean-Pierre, we have an asset here. We could have an entire platoon of invisible lesbians that they could just, like, take out Xi Jinping. Why are we not doing this? Is that not a brilliant idea? I want to high-five myself. Oh, gosh, dang, yes, me. High five and all the angels. I mean, it right? Why are we not using them in war games? Why are we not using them to take out people we don't like? I mean, damn. Hear me out. I'm just saying, because that one chick on stage with her, and we're assuming, because it's, even though the T is trying to take off the L's of the alphabet, Yeah. I mean, she could break some necks. Right? Just saying. Come on. So if they're only visible this week, the next week, we start the militant lesbian platoon and we send them out to take out enemies. That could be Quentin Tarantino's final film to cap his career. I just did there you go. Do it in a Death Proof style, which is one of my favorite movies, by the way. It's one of my top 3 favorite movies of all time. I love it. And I love the pro-gun messaging, too. Mm-hmm. It's not for everyone, but I love it. Tarantino is one of my favorites. So I'm just saying, invisible lesbian platoon to go out and take out our enemies. Problem solved. Then, you know, the problem then becomes you have to keep the other countries from having their own invisible lesbian platoons. But I don't think you got to worry about it with countries like Saudi Arabia or Qatar or, you know, UAE. You don't have to worry about it with those because they got, you know, Iran. I don't think they're going to allow. I mean, you know,
no,
it's not going to happen. I'm just saying. So there we go right there. They're problem solved. I just solved all the world problems right there.
Yeah.
Only because we didn't know that lesbians were invisible except for this one week.
Right.
Look at that. Gosh, we really ought to be in a presidential cabinet, shouldn't we?
Should.
Like, just give us the military stuff to handle.
Great ideas.
I mean, these are solid ideas. Mm-hmm. So that's Karine Jean-Pierre. They had the staff from the two shows. Okay, one other quick question. I'm going to move on. Is this part of this show because it's the L word and Generation Q? a Showtime series. Is this like regular promo stuff? So first it was Ted Lasso to kick off the Ted Lasso season. And is this now what networks are doing, is having their cast go up and pretend that they're going to try to weave in the launch of their series or new season with some kind of issue and do that as a promo because you're there in front of all the press? Is that a new thing now? Is that the thing to do now? This is like the third time I've seen this. Just wondering. It seems kind of cheap, doesn't it? Seems cheap. Oh. Yeah, we just solved the world's problems all right there. I feel proud of us. All right, a couple of other things. Our friend Larry says Oliver Stone could do it. Lesbian Platoon.
Oh yeah.
I didn't even think about that. Oliver Stone doing it. Okay, so all right, give me a second. It'd be very different, like a Tarantino versus an Oliver Stone. Two very different approaches. I tend to lean towards the Tarantino, but you know, I mean, very. Just saying. All right. So the other, we have to make fun of it. Can we talk about the dinks? How did I put this in my rundown? Because I saw this headline and I was just making fun of it last night. I had a paragraph that I removed because I thought I was being unnecessarily mean, but now I wonder if I should keep it in. So the dinks, that's what they call them. The dinky dinks meet the next generation of people to be abandoned in nursing homes. That's who they are. Dual income, no kids. Now, I learned this from Bar Rescue because John Taffer was like yelling at this dude who owned this bar in this bougie neighborhood. And he's like, and John Taffer, as always, he's been on the show before, John. And he was like, this is the demo you got. This is the age. You got a bunch of dinks here. And I'm like, what is a dink? And then he stopped and explained it because he just realized nobody else knew. So they're younger couples who don't have babies and they go on luxury vacations and expensive date nights. And I don't know why this headline says splurges at Costco. Okay. Do you splurge at Costco? I mean, does anyone go to Costco to get to splurge? I mean, you're usually getting mass quantities of something that you need, right? Just saying. Okay. But they call them dinks. Dual income, no kids. D-I-N-K. And they're all over TikTok, which I don't get on because it makes me want to pray for an asteroid to hit the earth faster than it's on schedule to do. So they have, it's like dink talk. I don't even know. And these people brag about their lives. Like what we did today is dinks, dual income, no cats. And then they talk about how they went and spent their money on shrimp and coconut at Costco. Okay. I mean, if that's, you know, what powers your boat, do it to it. And so they're all, I mean, it's, I don't know. I think that is like what the hashtag dink on has like 205 million views.
Did you see what dinkwad stands for?
Yeah, I love it. Dinkwad is dual income, no kids with a dog. I love it. I do think that they're going to grow up lonely and die alone, but it's still funny to make fun of right now. I say that because not everybody wants to be a parent, and that's fine. But I can't imagine being the age that I am now and not having a family or, you know, kids either through birth or adoption. I just can't. I just can't imagine it. It's just weird to me. Like right now we're going through a crazy tumultuous phase where we have graduations literally 6 days apart and people moving out and people moving in and people doing all, and it's nuts. And as crazy as it is and as stressful as it is, I would not trade it so I could go and quote unquote splurge at Costco and be a dinkwad. They're going to die alone. They're going to be like the people in the nursing home. It'll be like fried green tomatoes and it'll be like, you know, Kathy Bates visiting Jessica Tandy. And Jessica Tandy's going to be the dink, except in that movie she did have a kid. But I digress. You get my point. It's just sad. I honestly wonder, because the birth rates have picked up ever so slightly. And everyone was wondering if the birth rate would explode during the lockdown. And it didn't. Or due to the lockdown. But they said they have picked up slightly, 0.9% in 21, the same amount again in 2022. And it makes me kind of think that there is somewhat of a turnaround. Although I also wonder if it's not too soon, you know, to say such a thing. Because have you seen like Tradwife and all of this stuff starting to trend on social media? Like women are of younger, you know, younger generations are rediscovering things that have been made taboo by second wave feminists, right? Like second wave feminists looked at it as weak if you gardened or if you had home cooked meals or if you wanted to stay home. I mean, I got in a huge fight with Linda Hirschman, who was this old cantankerous, crusty feminist who was saying that if you have a college degree, oh, she has, if you have a college degree and you choose to stay home, you're betraying your sex. And it was a very public having it out. We had it out. And there have been other, like, there have been a couple of Republican women that I've had it out with that have said things like, oh, well, you know, Republican women staying home, it's like, or if you're staying at home mother, it's like a form of welfare. And of course, it's always made by these women who don't have kids or dinks, right? Dinkwads. But I do, I think there's, I'm starting to think that there might be a rejection of this. I do think that there might be some kind of, there might be a rejection of this. Because people are tired. It's a false freedom and it's empty. And I think that that's, I don't know. I think that there's a reaction to that. Yeah. But yeah, I can't stand the name. The Dinkwads. It's true. It's the craziest thing. But I love it. I learned it off Bar Rescue. Okay, a couple of other things to discuss. We talked about the invisible lesbians. The president announcing his bid, and he also said that they're going, he would veto the budget, he'd veto any kind of debt ceiling offer because he doesn't think that Republicans are going far enough. He doesn't like the cuts, he doesn't like the accountability, he doesn't like anything like that. So that's it. If it even gets through the Senate, it would be DOA, and I don't even know if they would have enough to override that at this point, to be honest. So, you know, we shall see. We have more on the way, including what is Tucker Carlson going to do now? What does this mean for conservative news? I tend to think that anybody in that hour is going to do well. And I think that, you know, there's all speculation out there. It's a lot of it is speculation. But I do think it will be a test of like a post-Trump media consumption.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
But one thing that people are concerned about out here, of course, is the rise of the CCP. And they're concerned about the security situation. One of the things they complimented us on in Florida is I'm going to be signing legislation very soon eliminating the possibility of CCP land purchases in Florida. No farmland, no land near critical infrastructure, none.
That's good. That's another state doing it. That's awesome because it's just too weird. You have a geopolitical foe that wants to purchase land, like the, what is it? The CCP backed EV factory in, what is it, in Michigan? They were going to go right by the fort up there where they're training the Taiwanese military. That seems a little bit too convenient. Just saying. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. I have a couple things that'll be going out to you. Not just in the rundown, but I have a kind of a hodgepodge email that'll go out later today on a few things. And some of it's very interesting reading, so you'll want to sign up for that. The debt limit package, Biden said he's going to veto it. Of course, the Office of Management and Budget released a statement saying that they strongly oppose the Limit, Save and Grow Act. They said it was a reckless attempt, here's their words, a reckless attempt to extract extreme concessions as a condition for the United States, simply paying the bills it's already incurred. That's how they put it. That's how they put it. See, they think that to pay the bills incurred, the way they do that is not by stopping the spending, but it's by taxing you. They don't want to stop spending. So you have to pay more in taxes. Pay your bills. That's literally the message. That's what they're telling people.
That's why we see the debt ceiling conversation all the time. Democrats never put forth an actual budget. It's always CRs or something like that. And then when they put all these spending bills in place, then when it comes to the debt ceiling, then later, like, oh, we can't default. But they keep spending on the front while insisting we increase the debt limit on the back. It's crazy.
Yeah, pretty unbelievable. So that they said the president has been clear. They called it hostage taking. Hostage taking because you have to pay. They don't want to cut taxes. I think you're taking the taxpayers hostage. That's what it sounds like. I'm going to include this in your email prep. Today in stupidity came.
All right, Karine Jean-Pierre. This is
Invisible lesbian.
Yes.
Okay.
Visible this week, though.
Okay.
She says House Republicans are fighting to put fentanyl on the street and defunding the Border Patrol. Listen to this.
It's clear that the Speaker's bill breaks House Republicans' commitment to America.
In the
run-up to the 2022 election, House Republicans promised to put cops on the beat. Instead, they're fighting to put fentanyl on the street by defunding Border Patrol.
Their proposal makes
clear that only things House Republicans are committed to.
Come on.
Yeah, no, that's
stupid.
Mm-mm.
No, that's not how it works. We'll revisit that, give you the latest tomorrow, folks. That does it for us today. I hope you have a great rest of your day. Sign up for the newsletter. Find us on Facebook, YouTube, like, and subscribe. Back with you tomorrow.